Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And if this episode is anything to go by, I really need to join a union because it works out pretty well for them.
You're a manual laborer at points. Or do you not have a union for your work?
I do not. Unfortunately, I am classified as a knowledge worker, and unionizing is frowned upon.
And we are in Florida, which is an at-will state, so...
Yep.
Okay. Before we get into this week's episode, we'd like to thank our supporters on Patreon, with which this episode is possible. You can support us by going to patreon.com/thesimpsonsshow. Links in the show notes as well. By the time you hear this, our Simpsons movie commentary track will be live and available to our Patreon subscribers. If you subscribe, donate, support, whatever verb you want, your preferred verb for that is at $2 a month, you get access to our Simpsons movie commentary track as well as our bonus episode concerning the Simpsons Sing the Blues, which we had some thoughts about.
Yeah.
And our next goal is within sight, which would be a weekly Simpsons article written by me, myself, and I. So I'm excited. Hope we get there. Thank you, Neil Scott. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shane.
I thought you said thank you, Shane, for a second. Fraser McGovern. Thank you very much. Thank you, Fraser.
Gracias, Fraser.
Robbie Eleanor. You have a great first name, Robbie. Thank you. Thank you very much for contributing.
I'm out of languages, so thank you.
There you go. Brandon Hunt, thank you very much.
10110110, maybe? That might be a T. I don't know.
Zach Kowalski, thank you very much, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
We have Emily Kalatai, which I'm not sure if I'm correctly saying that, but thank you, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
And then we have Joey Matt DePerry. I'm not sure if that's just two guys going in together, or if that's one person with Matt as their real name. Either way, thank you very much, Joey Matt DePerry.
I'm pretty sure that's Matt LeBlanc. He's just going by extra names, you know?
Oh, okay. All right. And finally...
But thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Finally, Jonathan Chopper. Thank you, John. Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan. Don't chop us, please.
He's I recognize his name as one of our frequent Twitter participants in our listener questions and all that stuff. So, yes, thank you, guys. All of you, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Actually, when I'm being sincere, it does warm my heart every time I see that someone thinks it's worth a dollar or two a month. And if you can't contribute or simply don't want to, you can also help us by giving us reviews at iTunes or Stitcher or wherever. If you like the show, subscribe, give us 5 stars. Say, I love The Simpsons and I love The Simpsons Show, and you should listen to them. I want that review out there. I like that. It's nice, simple, sweet, I think. On this week's episode, it is Last Exit to Springfield, episode 9 of 15, originally aired March 11th, 1993, written by Jake Hogan and Wallace Wolodarski, their last episode, the last episode they wrote.
And they made it a doozy.
Yeah, they wrote, famously, off the top of my head, they wrote Lisa the Great, but this is the one they'll be remembered for, I'm sure. Directed by Mark Kirkland, original broadcast finished 19th in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 13.7, approximately 12.8 million viewing households. Highest rating on Charlotte Fox that week, beating Cops.
I would hope so.
Yeah, beat Cops.
This episode.
Yeah.
So... Cops was terrible. Yeah. Cops is the beginning of reality TV, so that's where society just went downhill.
Cops is not great. But I guess that gives you a little window into what Fox is doing at the time, and that The Simpsons' main competition on Fox was Cops. The chalkboard gag, mud is not one of the four food groups. I agree.
In the mud.
Okay, Matt, you can have all that mud you want. I'm going to agree with that statement, not one of the four groups.
Fine, just be picky then.
Okay. The couch gag, couch turns into a monster and eats everybody.
That's a pretty good one.
I like it. Yeah, it's good. Let's see. Guest stars, Dr. Joyce Brothers, as herself. She has a very small part.
For one line.
I know, she's barely in this. I guess it's good that they got her to play herself for that one little tiny bit. This is a widely regarded as one of the best, if not the best, episode, Matt.
I definitely agree with that.
It's, 2003, USA published top 10. This had it in the first place. MSNBC listed it as their favorite. Michael Moran of The Times ranked the episode as the sixth best. Entertainment Weekly in 2003 ranked it as the number one. It's flawless. Funniest half-hour show in TV history from Chris Turner, who wrote Planet Simpson. So there you go. There are many, many, many people who say this is their favorite. The I believe the Simpsons writers even have listed this as one of their favorite episodes as well.
We'll get into why.
It's a very good one. I don't know if it's the best. I don't know if I'm willing to go that far, but it is a very good episode. The episode begins with the McBane clip where he bursts from an ice sculpture without arms, and then he has arms. It's
amazing. That's how physics work, Robin, when you're undercover.
You just spit in spaces that don't get, like, ice. But there is famously, I didn't pull it, but he famously does say ice to see you. Which is used in Batman and Robin. Arnold Schwarzenegger says that exact same line when he's Mr. Freeze. So again, the Simpsons predict reality.
Well, they establish reality and everyone else just copies off of them because they're the best.
Okay, I see. We get Burns perusing a union contract. The union leader has mysteriously disappeared, i.e. been buried in a football stadium, which is a clear reference to Jimmy Hoffa supposedly being buried in a football, in Giant Stadium, which Mythbusters thoroughly debunked. There's nobody buried there. But we cut to
a Giant Stadium anyway, at the Little League field down the road. Nah, not so much.
We don't know. We cut over to Painless, formerly Painful Dentistry. And I approve that name change, I guess.
That's like the new sedation dentistry where they put you to sleep. It's like, oh, it's painful. You just don't feel it anymore.
I'm all for that. I hate the dentist, and there's a lot of dentist stuff in this where I completely agree. We get a little glimpse into how this dentist works when we have Ralph just going in for his checkup.
How often do you brush, Ralph?
3 times a day, sir.
Why must you turn my office into a house of lies?
You're right. I don't brush. I don't brush.
Let's look at a picture book. The Big Book of British Smiles.
That's enough! That's enough!
Poor Ralph.
Poor Ralph.
That's so sad. And I understand...
That book. Sorry, go ahead.
That book is really bad. But I understand that kind of... that feeling of guilt over going to the dentist because it didn't seem how much I took care of my teeth. The dentist didn't like you.
Well, he basically, dentists see people, and people have different levels of teeth keep-up ability. Like, I brushed once a day, never flossed, never, used mouthwash for the first 25 years I was alive. Never had a single cavity. My wife brushed twice a day, flossed, used mouthwash, and had like 8 cavities, like every time she goes to the dentist. So some people just get lucky, and the dentist thinks, you're an asshole. So that's the way things are, unfortunately.
Matt, this is a Christian podcast. Watch your language.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
We also get Bart.
Dennis thinks you're a floofle-narker.
We also get Bart terrifying the children in the waiting room.
Dr. Wolf likes to pull kids' teeth so he can sell them.
To who?
Know that rattle when you shake up spray paint? That's a kid's tooth.
That's so brilliant.
That's really scary.
I wish I would have thought of that joke when I was a kid.
Yeah. We find out that, unfortunately, Lisa needs braces. We get like a time lapse from the computer of what her face will look like if she doesn't get them.
That is the best use of a computer so far in the world.
And like by the age of 18, a tooth is literally going through the top of her head, which I don't think is
that is because she's part warthog.
There are no worries apparently because they have a. Calvin Klein's obsession for teeth braces. They sprint out a little bit of perfume, I guess.
Yes, Calvin Klein's obsession for teeth.
It's very nice. We cut over to a union meeting, which is, let me see, it's jazz dancers, pastry chefs, and nuclear technicians, which that's quite a union they have together. But
God damn it, there goes one of my trivia questions.
Yeah, what do you expect me not to mention it in the episode, Matt?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd miss that.
Yeah, sure. It's a big sign gag, but Carl is the interim president, as they can't find whoever it was, and they quickly kind of, as it seems to be the way, that they just quickly want to vote on the new contract so that they get the dental plan out with a new keg of beer for the meeting, in. That's Mr.
Obviously,
Burns.
Obviously, one of those is way better than the other.
Yeah, and of course, the guys, all the blue-collar guys, it's not really... That's the thing. These are nuclear technicians, like, and they've covered this later on. Like, Lenny and Carl both have PhDs. Like, they'd be... You'd think
Which
they'd
I find a little weird. Why would you have a PhD working in a nuclear plant? I mean, a master's maybe, but...
I don't know.
I think it was masters. I don't remember them saying they have PhDs. I remember them saying they have masters.
Oh, okay. I thought it was. Well, regardless, they have various higher degrees of graduate school and education. I think they'd be smart enough to realize a dental plan is probably better than a keg of beer. But regardless, you know, they just kind of quickly want to pass it and get on with the party with the beer. But Homer, I did not pull all of this because it does go on forever. But Homer has a train of thought about dental plans. Don't we need that?
Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces.
Dental plan!
Lisa needs braces.
If we give up our dental plan, I'll have to pay for Lisa's braces! People, stop! We can't give up our dental plan! Lenny, without the dental plan, you wouldn't have that diamond in your tooth.
Yoink! Hey!
And Gummy Joe, where would you be without the dental plan? I wouldn't have old Chomper here, that's for sure. You know what I think of this contract? This!
And we pan over to the keg of beer, which has apparently a camera installed in the tap, which, you know, like they come.
Makes sense. Mr. Burns is kind of his thing.
Yeah. And we see the Burnses and Smithers are watching that. And Burns is, of course, kind of intimidated and upset about Homer's... actions, and we get a great exchange about who is this Homer Smith? Who is this Homer Simpson?
Who is that firebrand, Smithers?
That's Homer Simpson, sir.
Simpson, eh? New man?
Actually, sir, he thwarted your campaign for governor. You ran over his son. He saved the plant from meltdown. His wife painted you in the nude.
Doesn't ring a bell.
It's the first of several times where they do the meta reference of realizing how often Burns and the Simpsons interact with each other.
Well, you think about it, a guy like Mr. Burns would probably never know most of his workers' names, and even despite the fact that they run into each other so much, I mean, Homer is a pretty forgettable guy. I mean, come on.
I don't know about all that, but I love it anyway. And then we quickly cut back to the union meeting where Homer, because of his fire and outrage at the lack of a dental plan, he's elected the new president of the union. That we cut to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer. I just want to say there's a great joke that Act One goes out on, where Homer says, "Hey, what does this job pay?" And Carl says, "Nothing, unless you're crooked."
Oh, yes, that's true.
So Homer is definitely planning on being crooked, I'm sure. But when we come back, we are treated to a vision Homer has of what it's like to be the head of a union, where he is essentially Don Corleone from The Godfather. And it's a really great parody, but instead of fruit, he gets donuts, because that's Homer, and donuts are delicious, so obviously.
It's just donuts. The God in Don Corleone gets, like, a necklace, I think, as well as the fruit. Everyone has just donuts for him everywhere in this flashback.
That's the only thing you really need in life, Robbie. Come on, it's donuts.
I guess I can't argue with that.
When we come out of Homer's vision, whatever you like to call it, we see Homer working on his negotiating skills with Bart. Where Bart is obviously the smarter candidate here. He trades Homer a delicious doorstop for his crummy old Danish.
That's a good trade, right?
That's a good trade for somebody. I mean, a doorstop you can use forever, but a Danish is only for right now. So obviously Homer got the good end of that bargain.
You can also use a shoe as a doorstop, honestly.
Fair enough. Anyway, we move on to Mr. Burns and Homer at the nuclear plant for their first, you know, little get-together as, you know, management and labor.
We don't have to be adversaries, Homer. We both want a fair union contract.
Why is Mr. Burns being so nice to me?
And if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Wait a minute. Is he coming on to me?
I mean, if I should slip something into your pocket, what's the harm?
Oh my God, he is coming on to me.
After all, negotiations make strange bedfellows.
Sorry, Mr. Burns, but I don't go in for these backdoor shenanigans. Sure, I'm flattered, maybe even a little curious, but the answer is no.
I love how every time something like that comes up, Homer goes, I'm a little curious.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that's,
at least he was being honest.
That's the thing. Like that. I never remember the name of that episode with John Waters.
Homer's Phobia.
Homer's Phobia. This is up to that point, like, the most gay panic Homer gets. And then even at the end, he's like, maybe a little curious. Like, it's never. But it's so good. And, like, the fact that, the wordplay works perfectly in both ways.
Yeah, I'm sure they crafted that specifically, so it's very double entendre the entire way.
Yeah, that's great.
After that little exchange, Homer walks out, and then we cut to Lisa in the dentist's office, where the dentist is, he's trying to be friendly. He's showing her the different tools he will use.
Lisa, so you won't be scared, I'll show you some of the tools I'll be using. This is the scraper, this is the poker, and this happy little fellow is the gouger. Now, the first thing I'll be doing is chiseling some teeth out of your jawbone. Hold still while I gas you.
Oh my god, that's terrifying. That's, I like dentists.
That seems like a completely 100% accurate portrayal of real life dentists.
No, you must have had some really bad dentists.
I generally think I had a perfectly normal, adequate dentist, but that feels like what a dentist, like, I know that dentists are actually, like, it's a really hard job, and you're, like, you're working in, like, a 2-inch square area, like, in someone's mouth, you're poking and prodding, and it's really hard to work and stuff, but sitting in that dentist chair, that's what it feels like. You're like, here's a sharp metal thing, I'm gonna poke you with it. Whoa, you're bleeding! No kidding. You just poked me with a sharp metal thing. What did you think was gonna happen?
Have you ever had surgery, Robbie?
Yeah, I had my wisdom teeth removed.
Okay, non-dental surgery. Okay, have you had outpatient surgery where you just go into an office, the doctor, swabs you on and cuts you open? It's pretty much the same thing.
No.
You just haven't had it happen, so you think, oh, doctors are better than dentists. No, it's the same thing.
I realize, but the dentist you have to go to more often, a doctor, theoretically. Like a doctor you can skate by just like when you're really sick, you can go. And a dentist has to go every 6 months.
Yeah,
I don't.
Sure.
Do it. I need.
Months,
to, huh? I haven't been in a long time ago, but I hate the dentist. That is the point. But
you should go to one of the ones where they put you to sleep, and then you just fall asleep, and you wake up, and they're like, "All right, you're done."
That is what I'm going to be doing. I guarantee it. That's the best.
Good. But during Lisa's gassing, she has a great parody of the Yellow Submarine. So you shouldn't call it a music video because there weren't no music videos back then, but
I mean, that's what it was to a certain extent. I mean, it wasn't a quote-unquote music video. It was more closer to a movie than anything, a short movie, but it nails it. It is, it was so good they had to change, like, it had to become a purple submersible instead of a yellow submarine. Like, that's the thing. Like, it was so good. Like, they really nailed the animation style of that the old Beatles, yellow submarine stuff. It looks really good.
Yeah, and their Beatles impressions are quite good as well, I think.
Yeah, even though eventually they'll get most of them.
Yeah. When Lisa wakes up, we see a great parody of the Joker from the 1989 Batman with Michael Keaton and, oh crap, I can't remember his name. Guy who played the Joker.
Jack Nicklaus, the golfer.
Jack Nicholson. when he wakes up after being Jokerized and take the bandages off and he asks for a mirror, poor Lisa has gotten her ugly braces since they don't have a dental plan at the moment, and she cackles.
You can't get them in water, Matt.
Stainless steel. You can't get them wet.
No, they predate stainless steel. Stainless steel, you can't get wet. They predate it. You cannot get
right,
them wet.
Right, sorry. Thank you.
There you go.
Oh Lord! So don't salivate with these braces on. I guess
they are.
Good luck with that.
They are pretty rough.
Yes, if you have never seen these braces, go find a picture. They are terrifying. I would never let anything like that near my mouth unless I absolutely had to.
I mean, braces used to be like that.
I don't think they were that bad.
Old style braces, like really, really old style. Yes, they were. I mean, they weren't. Yeah. I mean, you could get them wet, but they were very, like those giant head things. These were a thing that people actually had. It was,
I'm glad for the march of technology.
A lot of dentist talk this episode. Doing a lot of teeth and dentist talk. I guess it's assumed. It's a dentist. There's a lot of dentists in this episode. A lot of dentistry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's Lisa's whole line, essentially, or her storyline is the deadest thing. So
it's true.
But once Lisa has finished breaking the mirror, as the Joker did in Batman, we see Homer at home, and Lisa smiles for him, and Homer is terrified because Homer is not a good person, not good with shocks. But there's a knock at the door, and when Homer says, "Who is it?" one of the best lines in the episode, but it's really short, so I didn't capture it. It's hired goons, and he opens the door, and they cart him off to Burns. And these are extremely large gentlemen whose names we'll find out are Crusher and Low Blow, because those are exactly the kind of names you want your goons to have.
Are those their given names, Matt? Or
those are their Christian names. That's correct.
They were okay named Crusher. I guess their parents foresaw careers in goonery.
That's true. They came out at 13 pounds and whatever a large size and length is for a baby. And they were like, these are going to be some big fellas. We should give them appropriate names. But he goes to see Mr. Burns. The goons drop him off. And Mr. Burns is very genial at first. He's like, oh, I hope they didn't hurt you or anything. And Mr. Burns feels that the telephone is too impersonal. And you don't get the, what does he call it, Robbie? The personal hands-on touch you get with hired goons.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I guess it's true.
It's true. That's 100% accurate.
Mr. Burns gives Homer a tour of his mansion, which includes the largest TV in the free world, which I'm trying to figure out, does that mean there's a larger one in the non-free world? So somewhere there's a dictator with a bigger TV than Burns? I find that hard to believe.
I don't know, maybe. I didn't really think about it. I think when they just say that, I think it's just, it is just a saying. I think they,
Well, they watch some terrible Spanish sitcom, I guess, with Bumblebee Man. And Burns, of course, hates it and shudders at it. Then we go to Mr. Burns's, I think, the finest thing he has in his mansion.
This is 1,000 monkeys working at 1,000 typewriters. Soon, they'll have written the greatest novel known to man. Let's see. It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. You stupid monkey! You shut up.
So good.
I still think about that quote at least once a month.
That's really good. There was a real-life experiment was inspired by that. I mean, obviously it's a reference to the infinite monkey theorem, right? That if they had an infinite amount of monkeys and an infinite amount of typewriters, eventually they could work out the works of Shakespeare. But apparently, I don't know.
Only 1,000 is not enough.
I guess not. I don't know. But there was apparently a real-life experiment about that theorem was inspired by this.
Well, I hopefully will find out what they produce, but I don't think it's anything good.
I couldn't get the article to actually load, so
okay,
I don't know.
But after the monkeys, we see Mr. Burns's basement. Where apparently, he ends the tour there, and it's
kind of disappointing.
Ping pong table,
yeah,
a little leaky. You really should step into the tour with it, as he says. Of course, Homer at this point has had beer and tea and watermelon and has to go pee.
The watermelon. Yeah. The thing that gets me. I love it. Why did I have to have watermelon?
Beer out of steins.
Well, you have to be formal. Formal signing.
Formal beer drinking. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for Homer, the bathroom is the 23rd door on the left, which, wow. And Homer, rather than counting, just opens every door until he finds it. Or, in Homer's case, doesn't.
Well, that's the thing. Burns asked him if he found it. He's like, yeah. That's apparently, that is one of Jake Hogan's favorite jokes ever in the entire show. And it is a pretty good gag. It's a pretty good joke.
We actually don't see much of their, negotiations. We just see Burns in his helicopter dropping Homer off at night, which is even more hands-on than the goons. So, yeah. Burns, he goes the extra mile in his labor negotiations. I love when Marge runs up to the helicopter, the top, foot of her hair gets chopped off.
Yeah. And then, but right back to where it was, and then afterwards.
She just puts a stick in it and, a stick in the hair.
Puts it right back on top. Yeah, it works out perfectly.
Exactly. Of course, Burns says that Homer will rue the day that he opposed Burns in these negotiations. Unfortunately for Mr. Burns, as the helicopter takes off, he falls out. So Homer has to rub his legs until the feeling comes back.
Sorry. I mean, that's not a bad... Honestly, that's an old man falling out of a helicopter. That's not the worst thing that could happen.
That is true. Of course, as soon as the paramedics take Mr. Burns away, he returns to threatening Homer to crush him like a bug. Like a bug. And so on and so on. Mm-hmm. At this point, poor Homer has decided that being a union leader is a bit too much for him. But he doesn't want to quit because the guys at the plant, you know, they respect him. They love him so much. And he describes some of the things they do to him.
I'm going to resign. I don't know why they made me union president in the first place.
Because they love you down at the plant.
Yeah, you're right. Guys are always patting my bald head for luck, pinching my belly to hear my girlish laugh.
That doesn't sound like they like you at all.
You know, I think you're right. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to punch Lenny in the back of the head.
I love that punching in the back of the head sound. It's the best. I don't know why exactly he punched Lenny, but I guess Lenny was the first person that came to mind.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, Marge has always had a thing for Lenny, so it's a good target. Not Lenny. Not Lenny.
A picture of Lenny.
Yeah. We then get to see poor Lisa at school picture day, where she is refusing to smile, and the photographer is trying to get her to do so. When she finally does, he says, "Oh, there is no God." Takes her picture, and he runs away. Oh, poor Lisa. Those are some really bad braces.
And, I mean, the photographer, not doing a great job?
Nope. He should probably go back to babies. They can't tell as much. They don't know what he's saying, as long as he says it with a happy smiley face.
That's true.
But then we go to the final meeting of the union before they go on strike, where Homer expresses his exasperation with Burns' techniques, and apparently the workers are just fed up.
Strike! 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 Strike!
All in favor of a strike?
Aye!
All opposed?
Nay.
Who keeps saying that?
It was him. Let's get him, Philly.
that little squirmy guy.
He's obviously a jazz dancer.
That must be. He's probably one of the jazz dancers.
I'm sorry, that gets me every time. I just had to capture it. But that, as they go on strike, that is the end of the act. We go to commercial.
Yes, and when we come back, they are striking and outside the plant. And Lisa, we hear her sing this multiple songs, but I only captured it once because it's a general idea. But it's a folky strike song.
Come gather round, children. It's high time you learned about a hero named Homer and a devil named Burns. We'll march till we drop, the girls and the fellas. We'll fight till the death or else fold like umbrellas.
So you get the idea of that. It's a really, a good song. Like, it's like a really moving kind of, that would make sense as a strike.
Yeah,
song.
I mean, it's a perfect kind of protest song. It's just great.
And there's a, I have this is Which Side Are You On by Florence Reese. This is apparently what inspired the song, but we're going to play it. I'm going to play it and see what you guys, we'll see if we can spot similarities.
Come on, you poor workers, good news to you, I'll tell how the good old union has come in here to dwell. Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We're starting our good battle. We know we're sure to win because we've got the gun. Thugs are looking very thin. Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Yeah, you can see it.
It seems pretty similar.
No guitar, but this was recorded when she was an older woman in the 70s. But it was originally sung much, much earlier. 30s, I want to say. Yeah, 31 is when she wrote the song. This is my favorite part. This entire episode is so good. And it's the thing I think I quote most from this episode. Burns brings in his union busters, which are his grandpa and Jasper, a bunch of the other old guys from the retirement home. And grandpa, they can't bust heads like they used to, but they have a different tactic.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Oh, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel, and in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time. They didn't have white onions because of the war. The only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
Wow.
Give me 5 bees for a quarter. Nichols used to have bumblebees on them. That makes me.
They didn't have the white onions because of the war.
It's just, I love them. And you get a new heel from a it's the best. Like, that is, I don't know how Grandpa rambling like that became such like a classic bit, but it's so, I guess because it's so authentic. Like, it really.
It is. It's like everyone's grandfather did something like that at some point in their lives.
Yeah, and they're always telling the story. We get more Lisa singing with Lenny requesting her play classical gas afterwards. Lisa's a good guitarist. I mean, we know she's a good saxophonist, but apparently she's a great guitarist as well.
She plays every instrument.
I mean, that's true. She's pretty good. We also get Burns and Smithers, attempting to run the plant on their own. And we get like a little, like a joyous, vibrant, like song. I don't even know how to categorize it. Matt, how would you describe the song? I should have a little bit.
It's really hard.
It's like a very like jingly kind of 50s tune. I don't know how to say it. Like it feels like it belongs in like a soundtrack.
It reminds me of the Burns ver Coffin der Kraftwerk.
Yes.
The Land of Chocolate.
Yes, correct. Yeah, you're right. It does. It is very similar to that. They also have robot workers who overthrow them. Chase them down the hallway.
We never trust those robot workers.
No, they 100% of the time will turn on you and have a robot uprising. It's inevitable. We have a smart line segment with Kent Brockman with the aforementioned Joyce brothers saying one thing, and Homer not they after him opening his mouth and being dumb. He's Joyce to be not having to get any questions asked. But Burns takes the moment to basically threaten the entire town, and then proceeds to do a Batman-esque style, like, how would you describe it, Matt? Like, you know how in the old Batman 66, where he'd, like, pull a lever and then he'd descend into the Batcave, Burns mm-hmm. does that with Smithers, except it's into the, like, the bowels of the plant, but it's that when they finally get there, it is protected by only a screen door.
Which is broken, and
there's a stray dog. There's a stray dog. And Burns turns off the power, which Springfield immediately riots. It is like there's normal people walking down the street. The power goes off. Trash cans into windows.
But once the cameras are off, there's no one to catch you.
Yep, that's all it takes. But we get a third and final version of the protest song with Lisa, and then Lisa singing joined by all the strikers. And finally, and Burns, we see Burns listening in, hoping to break their spirits. He is disappointed.
Look at them all through the darkness I am bringing. They're not sad at all. They're actually singing. They sing without juicers. They sing without blenders. They sing without flungers, cap dabblers, and smendlers. Tell Simpson I'm ready to deal.
So we get a clear Grinch reference there.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm trying to replace when they wrenched the other time they mentioned Grinch. His heart grew. I know they did a Grinch reference to something. Can you think of it?
I want to say it was the one with the Funzos, but I don't think so.
I'm looking it up, and I don't know. It's not in the one I'm thinking. I'm saying, but I can find it. So, whatever. But with that, Homer and Burns have a meeting, and Burns is willing to sign with the dental plan. His only condition is that Homer resigns as the president of the union, in which Homer celebrates by doing the little Three Stooges spin around on the floor thing.
You could say he's excited about that.
Yeah, he's quite happy that he doesn't have to be union president anymore. And Burns quickly realizes that maybe he overestimated Homer's intelligence and negotiation skills. The episode ends with Lisa getting normal braces. Which I don't think...
Well, super fancy braces.
Yeah, I know, but do we ever get the reference to Lisa having braces?
I don't think so.
I don't,
it's one of those things that shows up and goes away.
Yeah, exactly. And someone pointed out, I'll save it for a newsgroup segment. Someone also points something else out what I'll bring up. But, the episode ends with a weird segment where the dentist has, forgotten to turn off the laughing gas. Dr. Wolf has forgotten to turn off the laughing gas, and so everyone in the family is laughing at Lisa's joke about that's the tooth.
She makes it. A good joke, darn it.
Okay, sure. Sure it is, Matt. But it's a kind of a strange ending. But I guess it suits this episode, which is a particularly kind of zany and, you know, laugh a minute packed with jokes type episode. So I probably would have done the Lisa having the, I don't know. It's weird having that be the capper, but regardless, it's a very good episode, very funny, very memorable, tons of jokes, dense. I think that's the thing we talk about. A lot of density in the jokes. Like, it's just constant, like, stream of, like, joke. Like, it's just never ending.
It's relentless and wonderfully so.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really funny. I don't know if it's the best ever, though.
Yeah, I don't know about the best ever, but it's definitely going to be way up there.
Yeah, it's a really good episode, even great episode that I don't know about. We can discuss it more as we're ranking it, but it's a very good one, guys. And I think most people know that, but this is definitely one you want to go back and watch. It's definitely worth it. My favorite episode? No, my favorite episode submissions for this. I was a little bit surprised, but no. Sometimes people, it might be their favorite, they just didn't send one in. It's okay. But if you have one, please send it in to our email at sepsisshowpod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite. I will read it on air. Next up, it is time for the aforementioned comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the newsgroup is when I will peruse the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup. It is archived on Google Groups. You guys can search through it if you'd like. It is still going on to this day. I look at the week or 2 weeks surrounding the release of the episode and see what they're talking about at the time. A couple things. They pointed out that Lisa was 8 years old. Why would an 8-year-old be getting braces? Probably still has her children kitty teeth, her baby teeth.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But, yeah, like, it never comes up again, so who cares? Another thing that was interesting, someone was like, they're curious if Lisa's fingers, when she's playing guitar, if they actually represent where someone's fingers would actually be if they were playing those songs. And there was actually someone on the news group who, I'll read what they wrote. I was just at the scoring session for this episode, and while I was talking to someone at the time, I do remember that Alf Clausen and company were making an attempt to sync the guitar track they were recording to Lisa's hands. Yeardley Smith even came in to re-record the song. I didn't say anything to her as I didn't know who she was until she started singing. Oh well, live and learn. So that's pretty cool. There's a guy who was there.
So basically, the cool people were hanging out in the news group even then.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll go with that. but that's about it. Nothing else. Just people are starting even to argue about posts about where Springfield is.
Still with that.
Well, it's still a thing. Matt, we just talked about it in the Simpsons movie, how they made fun of it, so it's not that crazy. But other than that, on to our listener question.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL's gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question for this week was coming off the heels of Deathless. What is your favorite moment involving alcohol? Believe it or not, there are many of them in The Simpsons.
What?
I know, it's crazy. And I got tons of responses. Definitely appreciate you guys. I wish I had time for them all, but keep them coming. I love the discussion that comes going on in Twitter and Facebook. It really, you know, always makes me laugh when people are bouncing off each other. Just, it turns into lots of Simpsons quotes, but I'm always for that. First from Twitter, we have Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Homer confessing Scully was hot in the Springfield Files. Please don't tell Marge I love her. John at Jopstyle311. When I was 17, song in Duffless. I mean, is there anything, is there anything wrong staying up all night listening to Queen? And no, there's certainly not. I'm all for that. Spike, at Your Apocalypse. Are you in a metal band, Spike? Because that sounds like it's a metal band name right there, Your Apocalypse. His answer, quote unquote, to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. Transcends the show and becomes universal truth. And that was by far the most popular answer, which I expected, honestly, but it's very good. We have The Wanking Dead at FF Connoisseur 84. To buck the upcoming trend a bit, I'm going to say Red Tick Beer. Needs more dog, gets me every time. That's true. Does need more dog. Danny at Woosh Danny H. Moment has to be Homer bowling the gutter ball on purpose in Homer vs. 18th Amendment and the route it takes to most tavern with all the gags between. It's pretty good. Really well designed, kind of Rube Goldbergian kind of thing. Onto Facebook, we have Sean. Ned marrying a woman in Vegas. A great arching storyline. All due to a white wine spritzer. 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 Who's that? Amber? Or is he married? Who's he? Which one is he married? You remember?
Okay, let's see.
It's Amber and something.
Amber and Homer are the ones that are married.
Okay.
Ned's wife is Ginger?
Ginger. That's right.
Sure? Okay.
On to Zach. Homer vs. 18th Amendment. Rex Banner is a fantastic one-off character, and there are too many great gags to even mention. Plus, it gave us the greatest Simpsons quote of all time. To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. Truly, Simpsons at their best. Daniel. Homer coming back to the hotel drunk from spring break and kill the alligator and run. Quote, guess how many boobs I saw today, Marge? 15! That is a great...
Which is an odd number, but hey,
that's the best part about it. That's an odd number. We have Alan, Homer's love letter to Marge. Maybe it's the beer talking Marge, but you've got a butt that won't quit. They've got a big chewy pretzels. $5! Get out of here. That's one of my favorites. Mike, when Homer says to Marge, I'm not going to lie to you, and just walks away, and Homer bursts the 18th Amendment. Marge, I'm not going to lie to you. And finally, we have Vanessa, season 9, episode 18. This little wiggy, Marge. Now let's get some beer in you and then straight to bed. Homer, woohoo, beer, yeah. Beer, bed, bed, bed. Yes. Who hasn't been that excited about beer in bed? And I.
That's right. He was overstimulated.
Gotta get some beer in bed in you. Great answer, guys. Matt, what is your answer? I think I know, but tell me.
You know me, but I like to be, original, but I mean, obviously alcohol, the cause of and solution to all life's problems, easily the best line about alcohol in this entire show. It is so, so true.
Yeah, I kind of want to do, actually, that is what my answer is going to be from the same episode, but it's when Homer is brewing the moonshine in his basement and it's exploding.
I knew you were going to pick that.
And he's trying to cover for the noises.
Bam, boom, oh, excuse me, Mark.
And all the warning signs on the door. That's so good. Also, I'll catch you, Beer Baron.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
You won't.
Next week's question. What is Mr. Burns' most evil moment? There's a lot of them. He's done some pretty terrible things, and attempted even worse things that didn't actually happen. So I'm interested to see what you guys pick. I think there's a lot of room for creative answers here. I post this on all our social media. Facebook is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. Twitter, at SimpsonsShowPod. And again, emails at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Again, I try and keep up with the Tumblr. I know I've been forgetting lately. I apologize in advance if I forget again this week. Matt, guess what time is?
No, I'm terrified now.
Yeah, whatever. It's the time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
No Google Trivia Challenge. For Matt, I will each bring three questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, and try and challenge one another, stump the other. We also take theme suggestions, if you guys have any, and listener trivia that I'll pose to Matt. He's smarter at it and better at it than I am in general.
Also, Robbie's lazy.
What do you mean I'm lazy? I'm the one monitoring. How do I see a question and not know? I can't not see a question and know it beforehand. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's sure. Easier for me just to quiz you. And you're the lazy one. You're the one. I have to monitor all this stuff, all right? I have to compile.
Fair enough.
Okay, then. I'm going to start this off, Matt. All right.
All right.
All right. No official theme. I went with a very, very loose theme. What does Homer gain in Simpson Delilah that enables his rise at the Clear Power Plant?
That would be a fantastic mane of hair that it uses to sculpt several different hairstyles.
Very Mad Men hairstyles as
That's
well.
True.
Okay, man, give me an easy question. Let's see if it's actually easy this time, or are you just going to give me, like, a hard question?
I think this is pretty easy, okay? What popular 1960s Democratic president is Joe Quimby modeled after?
Is it Richard Nixon?
Oh, shucks, no. I know how Quimby is always tiny and skinny.
JFK, man, JFK.
That is correct, it's JFK, with his Bostonian accent.
Yes. Ich bin ein Berliner.
Ich bin ein Springfelder.
Yes, I can't do it. I cannot do that accent. meaning question. Who is revealed in C.E. Doe to be the true owner of the power plant?
Oh, Canary M. Burns.
That is correct. It's the canary. Okay, Matt, give me your medium / impossibly difficult question like you did last week.
This is somewhat harder than I intended it to be.
Okay.
But I think you'll get this pretty easily because there's a lot of people to pick from.
Okay.
Name three of the other members of the Springfield Republican Party inner circle besides Mr. Burns.
There's the Texan guy, the oil baron Texan guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know as if
that's one.
Okay. Are we counting Sideshow Bob?
Yes.
Okay. How about, I believe there's a vampire that looks like Dracula.
Are correct. There's also Rainier Wolfcastle, Krusty, Dr. Hibbert, Bert Barlow, Helen Lovejoy, and a few other people who, as far as I know, have never been named.
Okay. I just went with Dracula because I like Dracula.
Well, of course.
He would be a Republican. He is, you know, he's an aristocratic count, so seems correct. Okay, hard question, Matt. I think you know the answer to this one. I don't even think it's out there for you. What kind of reactor does the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant use?
What kind of reactor?
Mm-hmm.
Are we looking for a model number or a type of reactor?
Just the type of reactor, no model number.
It's a heavy water fission reactor.
Okay, well, a brand name. Give me the brand name.
Oh, a brand name. Okay. Okay.
You're thinking like this is a real thing. It's not. They are real things, but
I'm pretty sure it was in Homer Defined, wasn't
that
it?
That is correct. That is the episode where they name it. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
1954 Fissionator nuclear reactor.
You're close, but no cigar. It's the Fissionator 1952 slow fission reactor.
Oh, 52. All right, fine.
Give me a hard question. Come on, Matt. I'm on a roll. I can do it.
I don't think you're going to get this one because it's from a later season. I believe season 19 or 20. I'm not sure which. Which Springfieldianite runs for president in 2008 and what party?
What Springfieldianite? Is that what you just said?
Mm-hmm. That is what I said.
You sure it's not Springfieldian?
No, it's Springfieldianite. Marge said so.
Oh, okay. In 2008, and they win?
The election is left vague, but what party were they running under?
I do not know.
Okay, this is a pretty hard one. Are you ready?
Sure.
It's the best character in all of The Simpsons. Does that help?
The best character?
The best one.
So, it's Lisa?
He rode the 20th Century Fox logo in the movie.
Ralph's party is, I don't know.
He ran as an independent. He rejected both the Democrats and Republicans who tried to recruit him. But yes, there is an episode where Ralph runs for president and wins the Springfield primary.
Okay. I prefer Ralph over D's Nuts, who is currently running in, what, North Carolina?
Or Donald Trump.
Yeah, Ralph's definitely preferable to Donald Trump. I have one question from a listener.
All right, hit me.
This is from Carlo, posted on our Facebook. Who is Seymour Skinner's favorite Star Wars character?
I believe it was Chewbacca, wasn't it?
That is correct. It's Chewie.
Okay.
Chewie is his favorite.
My favorite, Chewie.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm running a little low on listener questions, guys. So if you want to send them in, please do so. I apologize if you have sent them in and I haven't used them. I lost them somewhere. I'm sad.
Robbie is bad at keeping track of things.
Yeah. I'm doing my best, but I am being bombarded by a lot of things all the time, and I try and keep them organized, but it's not always easy or possible to do so. You can post, give us themes or more questions. I can try and stump Matt with if you'd like on any of our social media I've already mentioned. Matt, it is time for our final segment. It is time, once again, for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show. Matt, I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Okay, Matt. This is a very, very good episode. I may even deign it to call it a great episode. I mean, it's
definitely a great episode.
Okay,
don't even front.
Okay, just trying to, you know.
I know.
Some tension, some suspense. I don't think it's better than March vs. Monorail, though.
No, it's definitely not. I was actually thinking about this, because I wanted to say when we were talking about it earlier that it's definitely top five material. But looking at our top five. That's tough
it's
to say.
Tough. I think that it is very funny. It has tons and tons of jokes in it. However, it does not have a bunch of aside from Lisa feeling bad about having braces, there's not a ton of inner character stuff.
No, it's pretty much jokes from beginning to end. There's nothing really deep about it. And it really gets by on the fact that it is so jam-packed with jokes, and they're all funny. I don't think there's a single joke in this episode where I just went, huh, every single joke, the first time I heard it, and, you know, for dozens of times afterwards, because I've seen this episode at least 15 times, if not more, I still laugh at hilariously. I mean, that's really the strength of the episode, is how jam-packed it is with good, solid jokes.
And I think it is top five. I think it is number five. I think it is right above Mr. Plow.
Right above Mr. Plow, huh?
It knocks Mr. Plow down to number six. That is what I'm saying. I think March vs. Monorail has everything pretty much in an episode aside from, it doesn't have super heavy character stuff, but it has a little, and everything else in it just kind of is clear in a way amazing. Lisa Substitute is one of the most emotional, impactful episodes in Simpsons history. Black Widower has jokes, has that crazy, awesome mystery plot, has Sideshow Bob. I Marry Marge is funny, and it has so much good character. I think Mr. Plow is a similar episode in that it is not necessarily super heavy on character stuff. There's a little bit of, you know, Barney and Homer, but it is just mainly on, I think it's number five mainly because it's so funny. And I think it's, this episode is better. I think it's funnier. I think it's more, we're kind of mincing, you know, very close right now to the bone, but cutting hairs. I think it's better than Mr. Plow. I think this is a better episode than Mr. Plow. Just barely.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. It's like, it's funny because everyone remembers Mr. Plow. Everyone. It's like, people who barely even know The Simpsons know Mr. Plow. Not as many people know Last Exit to Springfield, and you're right. I think it is better by just a hair. So I'm going to go with you on number five. I just wish more people could see this episode and see how intricately paced it is, how, you know, complex the joke setups and payoffs are. And I feel like every new writer for The Simpsons should have to watch this episode and write like a 50-page dissertation on why it works so well.
Yeah,
it's so they understand what made the early seasons great.
I think all Simpsons fans kind of had that's the thing. I was reading, about how many people consider this the best episode. And I think it's not, the title of the episode is not as easy to remember, which is why it's...
That's true. What is it a reference to?
Last second, I don't know, honestly. I could not find it referenced anywhere.
Exit to Brooklyn?
I have Last Exit to Springfield. Title reference. We have internet right here. Let's see if the internet will tell us very quickly. Here it is. Yes, the title of the episode is a homage to Hubert Selby Jr.'s controversial book, Last Exit to Brooklyn. You're right. Apparently is a book about...
young Brooklyn hoodlums, apparently.
Yeah. Okay.
See, it's been over 20 years and we're still learning stuff about this thing.
Yes. Written and is published in 1964. It's not really necessarily about...
I think from what Wikipedia is saying about the novel, it's an uncompromising look at the lower classes of Brooklyn in the 50s. And I think that's kind of what they were going for in this episode is, a look at the working man and how their lives are affected by the decisions that are made by management and the upper classes.
Yeah, I can see it. And it's very Simpson-y. It's very much like, when we talk about those crazy, very weird references. of like literature and stuff. This is the perfect example of it. And I think that the title of this is, most people don't think of it off the top of their head. Like, but it, like, literally, I was at a bar last weekend and someone talked about onions on their belt. Like, then, so that is a, like, everyone knows that. Like, and everyone, like, the, it's a lot of this stuff is just like timeless. It's good forever. So I think number five on this list is an excellent spot. I mean, our top, God, the top 10 right now is just ridiculous. God.
It's so good. It's the fact that there are this many good episodes, just, it's crazy.
I'm just looking down this list. I'm like, oh man, I love that episode. And it's like number 37, 43.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, oh, Bart the Lover. Number 34, Flaming Moe's 32, Homer Defined. 31.
Oh,
I want to be higher, but you know, we.
But we'll... you think they should be super high? Like, I wish each number could have subletters.
We can't do that. But that is part of our burden. We have to give these definitive ranks, even though who knows. You can find this list. So there we go. Last Exit Springfield, number 5. Mars vs. Monorail, still number 1. Last place, 76, Homer's Odyssey. We're creeping closer and closer to 100 episodes. Find this list on our website. It's simply thesimpsonsshow.com. It has links to our social media, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon, to this list, to new episodes, of course, and to show notes. Whenever I randomly, there's random links in there occasionally, but also links to all that stuff. What is our next episode, Matt?
I believe our next episode, let's see. Oh my God, we made it. We made it, Robbie. Our very first clip show.
We are not doing a clip show, Matt. I just wanted to.
Okay.
I wanted to at least broach that. I can't talk. In that specific case, there is the first act is new, it's the April Fool's, I believe, right? That's this one where, when Bart shakes up the beer can and Homer gets launched into a coma. Yes, that's what happens. We are not going to cover it because most of it is clips. We are already a clip show. We don't need to cover. We don't need to be that meta. We're going to skip the Simpsons clip show, and we're going to finally get off of our episode titles syncing up with the actual number of the episodes. We don't need to do a clip show. It would be that exciting. We are going to jump right on to The Front, which is a great episode, and what I remember being much later, but I'm really excited to see it because it's another grandpa episode.
Yes, and a really good one at that, where he actually is a large portion of the episode is about him and his interaction with Bart and Lisa, which you don't see very often and is amazing.
So I'm excited to talk about it. We'll see what we get. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. It's MixMasterCereal. You can check out my comic book podcast, It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour. It is handsomeboyscomicshour.com and iTunes, etc. Again, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain pledge level on Patreon. you will not find him.
That's true, although I have been experimenting with the psionics. Most of the time, thanks to Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, I am throwing up my psychic block, but occasionally you can work your way in there if during our particular turns I try to attack. So, you know, keep it up. Maybe you'll get through my defenses.
D&D 2? Is that what we're doing, Matt? You said Advanced Dungeons
& Dragons.
That was 2.
That's not second edition. That was the second copy that came out, but it was still considered first edition.
Okay, I've read books about the history of D&D, and I'm still confused about the edition titles. But regardless, I think we can end it there. I am Robbie,
and I'm Matt,
and you keep watching The Simpsons.